What is going on, guys? Your boy Elroy here, and welcome back to the Your Boy Elroy MMA podcast. I am your host, Josh Prep Egina, back again on this Black Friday edition of the podcast. And right off the bat, just to let you know, an abbreviated version of the podcast. Full disclosure, it is Tuesday. November 23rd, as I am recording this, and you guys are hearing this on Black Friday, obviously, but for Thanksgiving, we are traveling, so I wanted to make sure that something was out, so I had to record early. No biggie, but let's get right into it. Like I said, an abbreviated version. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. If it's your first time, if you've been here before, thank you so much. There are no commitments to this podcast. All I ask is that you listen. And if you want, you can let me know how you feel about it, because I'm always interested to hear people's critiques, good or bad, because that's the only way that we get better. But let's get right into it. Like I said, finally, after I believe 9 straight weeks of MMA cards, we have a bit of a layoff, you know, holiday weekend, nice and empty, something that we haven't seen, like I said, for 9 weeks, which is insane. If you're starving, if you're, you know, just jonesing to see MMA fighters, Triller has some ridiculous card this Saturday, which we covered a few weeks ago in the Trigon or the Triangle Ring. It'll be pro boxers versus MMA fighters. The glove would be a hybrid, Frank Mir, Mike Perry are the two fighters that I can think of right now. So like I said, if you're jonesing, if you're just like, I need MMA, that's, probably your fix for the week. I know that at some point I'm going to get pretty itchy, so what I'll do is I'll probably go back and just hit like a replay of the year, because like I explained last week, at the end of the year, we like to do we just call it an award show, but we do a breakdown of the year, what we like the most, and it's a lot of work to really think that much. So with an off week, yeah, it'd be nice to not have to watch a fight, but I think there are a few performances that I should look back at when I look to see like what stood out the most for me this past year, because it's honestly been a hell of a year. So for Thanksgiving weekend, that's my job, is to just make sure that my list is nice and tight. Because I remember vividly last year sitting down at like week 51 doing the breakdown of 2020. And, you know, even with the time off, that was a hell week if I've ever experienced one. Yeah, it's a lot of work, but it's worth it, man. Especially for a year like this where there's been so much going on. I can't wait to talk about it in a few weeks. But obviously, it's the start of the holiday season. Today is Black Friday as you guys are listening to this, and I would just love to say what I'm thankful for before we get into the UFC Fight Night review. Obviously, I am thankful for my family. I am thankful for my wife and my daughter, Sadie Jade. They are the people who hold me together. I'm thankful for my parents for teaching me what a good parent is. My parents weren't perfect, but, you know, I couldn't imagine them being any better than they were, especially, you know, with what I know now as, you know, a man with a kid. I'm thankful for my friends, for the friends that I've retained. Eck, Aaron, Pash. I am thankful for my health. I'm thankful for this move to North Carolina. It's been, you know, it hasn't been easy, but it's been worth it, as they say. I am eternally grateful for moving down here. I wouldn't change it for the world. So with that being said, let's talk about UFC Fight Night, Vieira versus Tate. Not gonna lie, not a great card. Not at all. I don't know. The card itself had a lot of issues. I think the booking of these fights, you know, has to get a little better. You know, and maybe it doesn't, because there are, you know, we only talk about this when it's a bad card. Like, oh, the booking, you know, it's terrible. But there are so many great ones that, you know, the bad ones really stick out. So I don't know how much we should complain, but I think that it's more for the fan. It's the fatigue of, you know, 9 straight weeks. And, you know, some weeks were really, really busy. You know, we had Bellator cards. We had Bare Knuckle. We had big boxing matches during this 9-week stretch. And it was just tough to keep my attention. Maybe I had a bit of burnout. Maybe I did. But there are some takeaways that we should get into, so let's get right into that. Unfortunately, Terrence McKinney versus Ferris Ziem got pulled for the card right after weigh-ins because one of Terrence McKinney's cornermen tested positive for COVID. So we hope to see that fight later on this, you know, in this event cycle. But with that fight being off, this card really took a hit, because that fight, you know, we were expecting so much excitement. There was 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 fights on this card. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 decisions. So let's just go over some of the bright spots. Luana Pinheiro got a win against Sam Hughes in the first fight of the night. I think that, you know, as excited as I was for Luana Pinheiro, and I still see a ton of potential in her, very young into her career still. She's 10-1 right now. Personally, I think that she has to work on a ton still. She does get tired. She gets tired really quickly. But it's because she's a judo, you know, she's a judo practitioner. And all those throws take a lot of energy. And, you know, they're big and they look great, but they really drain her. So I hope that in her next fight, she finds that balance. Because we have seen her starch women, you know, with strikes. So maybe there's a balance that she can get in her next training camp where, you know, she won't get tired so fast. Lupita Godinez implemented her game plan against Loma Luke Boonmi. You know, that relentless wrestling style. And she cruised to a unanimous decision victory. Loma's great, but I'm not going to lie. Lupi is one of my favorite female fighters at the moment. You know, she has, we said it the other day about Corey Sandhagen, where, you know, there's Diaz brother energy from these fighters. Lupi is one of them. Anytime, anywhere, I cannot wait. I don't want her to be female cowboy. I want her to be a Diaz brother. And she's, you know, she's Mexican. She fights like a Mexican. And she's a killer, man. I can't wait. I hope she, you know, she said, they asked her, you know, you'll fight before the end of the year. She said, I don't know, maybe. I don't see why not. So I hope that the UFC tries to get her in again. She is a phenomenal talent, also very young in her career, 7-2. She's in a phenomenal weight class, and she just beat one of the girls that you fight in the middle of the pack that, once you beat her, we know you're ready to move up a bit. So I'm looking forward to see what Loopy does next. Hafa Garcia defeated Natan Levy by unanimous decision. Pat Sabatini, that dude is great, man. His groundwork is just relentless. I use that word a lot because it's true. And he was able to destroy Tucker Lutz on the ground. And again, cruise to a unanimous decision. He's won at 145. I think that he is going to surge pretty quickly, man. He's just so tough. His jiu-jitsu is great. He handles his striking very well as well. So, Pat Sabatini, you know, I'm a homer for him, obviously. He's from Philly. But there is great talent there in Pat. Adrian Yanez defeated Davey Grant by split decision. I don't know how we call that a split decision. I thought Adrian Yanez won all three rounds. But it was a fun fight. It won fight of the night. Just because of everything else being so middle of the road. Adrian Yanez is fantastic, but we're going to get back to him after we talk about a different fight. Hani Yaya defeated Kyo Hong Kang by unanimous decision. Still doing it. 28-10, that Hani Yaya. And still doing it. How old is he? 36. WEC vet. He's been doing it since 2002. Damn, honey, yeah, yeah. Talia Santos got the lone finish on the card, submitting Joanne Wood by rear naked choke. She dropped JoJo twice, which was pretty devastating. And for someone who doesn't get dropped ever, you know, that's telling. Talia Santos is someone to watch at 125, man. I give her another two fights before she's there fighting for a title, man. She is talented. She's a big girl, too. 5'6", 125, four-fight win streak. Wins over Roxanne Modafferi, Jillian Robertson, and Molly McCann, and now Joanne Wood. Great. Great fighter. And Talia Santos, I'm excited to see more of her as well. Sean Brady faced the biggest test of his career thus far in Michael Chiesa, and he defeats Michael Chiesa by unanimous decision. I had Sean Brady winning the first and the second, and, you know, 90% of the third. I don't know why, you know, I don't see how you could say Michael Chiesa won the third round when Sean Brady had controlled Michael Chiesa on the ground for over 3 minutes. You know, Michael Chiesa might have had a 30-second flurry where, you know, he was able to, you know, have Brady cover up for, you know, 10 seconds. But for me, you know, Sean Brady looks phenomenal. He has great ground game. His striking is getting better. He did get hit a little bit by Michael Chiesa, some shots that he didn't have to take. But I think that, you know, now we know how good Sean Brady is, because he just beat the number 6 guy in the UFC. And you know, a lot of people were saying, oh, well, it wasn't that entertaining. And the, you know, the name of the game is win. You know, you got to win. And Sean Brady did that. And he did that pretty, pretty convincingly. You know, he was number 14 going into this fight, and he's now number 8 in the UFC rankings. The only people ahead of him, Neil Magny, Jorge Masvidal, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, Vicente Luque, Leon Edwards, Gilbert, and Colby. So, not a bad list in front of him. A lot of fun fights. I would personally like to see him fight back maybe one more time, just to prove that he belongs in that number 8 spot. But I do agree with him that he should be fighting in the main event. Now, this is where I want to bring back up Adrian Yanez. I have an issue with Sean Brady and Adrian Yanez and the way people want to book the both of them right now. Now, Sean Brady, people were saying, oh, he should fight Khamzat Chimaev. And they said Adrian Yanez should fight Sean O'Malley. Now, me personally, I think that those two fights are fights that belong a little farther ahead. Like, come on. We know that Khamzat Chimaev at 9-0, nine fights, nine finishes, he's the future of that division. And I believe Sean Brady at 15-0 is also the future. So why can't those guys fight when it counts? You know what I mean? A number one contender fight at some point. Maybe a title fight. How awesome would that be? You know, we had these two undefeated monsters. And a year later, you know, two or three fights, each of them, they fight for the belt. What if they win? You know, they get to fight each other on a bigger stage. That's what I think. As well with Adrian Yanez, those two, and him and Sean O'Malley are not even ranked. And we're talking about how much potential they have. Well, let them build up. They could fight again. Number one contender fight, title eliminator, you know, title fight. Those guys should be fighting later on in their career. Not right now. They're two surging prospects that everybody's excited to see. I think that we should cool it on the prospect versus prospect fights, because how much more fun is Sean Brady versus Khamzat Chimaev is when we're talking to number one and number two guys in the world with those two? How much fun is it going to be when, you know, Adrian Yanez defeats, you know, insert bantamweight champ here, and Sean O'Malley's the number one contender? That's a way better story. Let these things play out. Stop trying to book these guys so quickly against each other. But, yeah, congratulations, Sean Brady. And he had a great interview this week on Ariel Helwani's podcast as well, so check that out. Then there was the main event. Ketlin Vieira defeated Miesha Tate by unanimous decision. If you watch the fight, or if you see the decision being read, you could tell who was going to win, because one person looked like they got hit by a Mack truck. And unfortunately, that person was Miesha Tate. I don't think she loses anything from this fight. I think she put it best. You know, she had fun out there. And think about 18 months ago what Miesha Tate was doing. Miesha Tate was giving birth, a water birth at that, 18 months ago to her baby. And is in her second fight back since retiring 3 years ago. So I think we should cut Miesha Tate some slack. Congratulations to Ketlin Vieira. Unfortunately, her victories are so, like, just not worthy of any more commentary, because they're so, what is that word? They're just not to be talked about, because she doesn't show much. You know, she's a good fighter, not a great fighter. And unfortunately, at 135, you can't be good. You got to be great. So, you know, I'm sure she'll get a big fight next. And good on her for getting the victory. But we are heading in to this weekend where we are off. And we'll come back next week with some fire. But this has been this week's episode of Your Boy Elroy. I am Josh Prepigina. You can find me on all forms of social media. Elroy Preps in one word. You can find the show on Instagram at YBE MMA Podcast, as well as Teespring for our merch, teespring.com/stores/YBE MMA podcast. If it's your birthday, happy birthday. Love your mothers. I love you, Mom. Enjoy the fights this weekend, the Trigon. And we'll see you next week.